The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us today on Three-Dimensional Wealth. I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf, and today we're going to be talking about the Allianz American Legacy Study. And to do that, I am very fortunate to have Elise Pellman with me. And Elise is with AgeWave, and AgeWave is a research firm that completed this study, and we're going to talk about it in depth. But part of that was done by Ken Dykewall, or actually orchestrated was Ken Dykewall. And Elise has been with AgeWave for over a dozen years. She's got a great degree in numerous degrees in accounting, project management, advertising. She's got a BS in marketing from NYU. She's a New York girl, and so we're glad to have you on our show today. Are you there, Elise?
I am here. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. This should be fun.
Well, good. Tell us first about AgeWave as a research company, because I understand this was the largest or most comprehensive study done on wealth transfer. So give us a little preface about AgeWave as a research company and your niche in the marketplace.
Be happy to do that. Well, AgeWave is actually not just a research company, Ro.
Okay.
It was founded by Ken Dykewald. I'm going to sort of tell you a little bit about Ken because I think that's useful.
Okay.
In 1987. And basically what AgeWave does is we're the preeminent authority on the aging of America. We have three lines of business. We go out and give presentations on the subject of boomers in retirement and aging in America. We do newsmaker studies, which is exactly what the Allianz American Legacy Study was, and that is really something that is thought leadership that is done for our clients, and they are usually always seminal works, something that's never been done before. And yes, you are correct. This was the largest, most comprehensive study ever conducted on the subject of legacy ever. And three, we also develop training and seminar programs. So we're not just a research company. We do a variety of things, and our niche is the aging of America.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ken also has, I know I've seen on his website, he's got a number of books, one of which I think is coming out, The Power Years. But he's also got one, Age Power, Retire, Rekindle Careers, and Retain Talent. When does he have the time to do all these, and how do they tie into what you're doing, Elise?
Well, he's a very, very, very busy man.
That I do know.
Yeah, Ken has been on this beat for 30-plus years, Roe. He's a gerontologist, a psychologist, and he's actually authored 11 books. He also won the McKinsey Award for Retire Retirement, which was a work created with another group around the issue of work and retirement. And the McKinsey Award is the prestigious sort of Pulitzer Prize in the industry for business-to-business publications. But the Power Years book is his most recent book, and it's called The Power Years, A User's Guide to the Rest of Your Life. And it is his first consumer book, Roe.
Okay.
It's a step-by-step guide about personal reinvention and repowerment. We feel, through all of our study and all of our work, very confidently that the boomers will be reinventing retirement. And kind of a funny word for it, because retirement means to go away, to disappear, and to withdraw. But to us, it's really about your power years. And what Ken and his co-author, Dan Kadlec, have done is they've written a book that's kind of helped us to envision and embrace this very powerful new chapter of our lives. So as an example, there are step-by-step guides on rediscovering life's purpose, how one can create a new and different balance between some kind of satisfying work, whether that's full-time, starting a new business, whether that's one day a week, one day a month, etc., and leisure. How can they rekindle sort of and forge new relationships in our life, find new interests, contribute to society, and leave a legacy? I certainly know that's important in your line of work.
Well, I know it ties in so well with three-dimensional wealth. In fact, the book, Three-Dimensional Wealth, that Bob Madden and I authored, is it talks specifically about how to look at areas of your personal wealth, your health, your jobs, your lifestyle, in addition to your financial wealth, your investments, the stuff that you have, and also your social wealth, how to make a difference and how to be outwardly focused. And, of course, in retirement years, here's a clip or a little vignette that came from the book. It says, this book is about how to prepare today for those later years, which are bursting with potential. The authors, again, that's Ken, provide an optimistic blueprint for what to expect in the areas of health, job, lifestyles, investments, and relationships, and how things will be so different from today as to be unrecognizable. And so it's a guidebook. It's offering useful and optimistic advice on how to get ready for what can be the best years of our lives. And, of course, three-dimensional wealth, that's what we're about. In fact, what we wanted to do, and sort of my research, Elise, that just came from 35 years of being with clients and listening to them, what I determined is that it's not all about money. And, in fact, when we talked about wealth, the financial wealth had, in many cases, a very small part of what we were doing. And we were really spending more time talking about their personal wealth and their social wealth, and then finally how to synchronize it, how to put it all together. And that's really where we've had the fun of this. And the study that Ken did really just brought home, and it said, you know what, we're on the right track. In fact, what I thought in my gut was right, this confirmed that, yeah, there are others. In fact, the study said that there are others that think that values, and not just valuables, not just things, are important. When they did the study, Elise, I mean, how was it put together? Methodology. What was the way that you did it? I said mine was very informal. I just kind of saw my clients. But obviously, you've got a much better way of doing this. How was it put together?
Well, first of all, Roey, I think you are sort of on the leading edge of those in the financial services industry. Because
I always say on the bleeding edge. You know, some people say you're on the cutting edge. I'm on the bleeding edge.
Well, you really are way out ahead in front of a lot of other people. Allianz is a great client. We've been working with them for several years, and they have a philosophy at their company which is called being the best at next. And so the way this study actually emerged was it was a collaborative effort among Allianz, AgeWave, and the folks at Harris Interactive. Harris Interactive is one of the leading research firms in the country, and they're the ones responsible for the Harris poll. So the actual study itself, the methodology of the study was first to come up with sort of an idea. What's the concept here? Well, the concept is that, you know, there is going to be a minimum of a $25 trillion marketing opportunity with respect to sort of inheritance and wealth transfer over the next several decades. What we wanted to find out, though, was what are the issues and challenges around this subject? Because you have two generations that are going to be impacted dramatically. You have boomers and you have their elder parents. So this was the largest, most comprehensive study ever conducted. We began it with an exhaustive secondary research review, and that related to every book that was ever written on this subject, every article that was ever written. And I will tell you, Roey, that most of them do not focus on what three-dimensional wealth focuses on. They focus on the money only.
One-dimensional wealth, exactly.
That's exactly right. That's all they focused on. And so that was the first phase of the research. The second phase was a comprehensive agent focus groups and consumer focus groups to really identify some of the key themes and issues around this subject. And the third was a quantitative study of 2,500 boomers and their elder parents, not necessarily their parents, but boomers and elders. So boomers were up to the age of 49 and elders were 65 plus. In addition, we did a high net worth oversample of those that had over $250,000 to $500,000. So that was kind of the methodology around the study and how it actually emanated to begin with.
And how long? I mean, this was over what period of time?
Well, basically, it took us about 9 months to complete the entire study because we don't just jump into the field. We start with focus groups, secondary research and focus groups to identify the key themes, and then we go out and we to conduct the study, which takes a couple of months to actually do. And then the hardest part is digging down to finding the results, because some of the results jump out at you and others don't. You really have to work to find them out. In fact, Roey, what we did was we went back in to do an extra sample because we had such a startling finding around the four pillars of legacy, which I'm sure we'll get to later.
Sure.
We wanted to go back in and make sure that our answers were correct, and they were.
It's interesting. The subtitle of the of this study was The Seven Myths of the American Legacy. And what I'd like to do, and we're going to take a break in just a couple minutes, but I'd like to go through each of these myths and take a few minutes and sort of unpack them. But let me just read them for the listeners. Myth number one was, today's legacy is like any other generation's. The second one, inheritance is the name of the game. Myth number three, money is the most important legacy. Number four, finances are the biggest source of conflict. Myth number five, families talk about their legacy plans. Myth number six, all children are equal. And finally, myth number seven, families want only financial advice when planning their legacies. And it's interesting that how these came out. In other words, from your research, this is how you sort of identified these seven myths. Is that how they came about?
Absolutely. Well, the myths were written after the research findings.
Okay.
And it dispelled every one of these. So we did not go out trying to find these answers.
I guess that was my question to you, yeah.
But the study findings were extraordinarily compelling, and they really dispelled every one of these myths, which we'll be really excited to share with you.
Well, good. Now, since the study has come out, I mean, every journal that's out is talking about the legacy gap, legacy planning, and Ken has really hit the hot button. So we're going to take a short break, but we will be back to talk about the seven myths of the American legacy on Three-Dimensional Wealth. Stay tuned.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management, financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled The American Legacy Study, The Seven Myths of the American Legacy. And to talk about that, I've got Elise Pellman, who is the Executive Vice President of AgeWave, that completed this study for Allianz. And the seven myths, just before our break, we talked about them. But let's talk about the first one, Elise, and that's today's legacy is like any other generation's. Now, my question is, what's different now?
Oh, lots of things are different, Roe. It is unlike any other generation that there is. And I'll give you four very important reasons. First of all, it's the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in history ever. There are staggering statistics that range from $25 trillion to $50-plus trillion. And we tend to stick with the more conservative $25 trillion, which is a lot of money. $7.2 trillion of that will go directly to the boomers over the next several decades. So that's number one. Number one is it's the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in history. Number two, for the first time ever, Roe, we are experiencing as a country an unprecedented longevity revolution.
Yeah.
It means that people will be living longer and better than they ever have before. They could live well into their 80th, 90th, and even 100th decade. So in the past, people generally got inheritances when they were in their 30s and 40s, but that's not the case anymore. First of all, people are living longer, they'll have new financial concerns, whether it's health care, whether it's living concerns, how they actually are able to take care of themselves economically. And so money will be transferred down much later in life. And also, so people may not receive inheritances until they're 50, 60 years old. So that's number two. It's the unprecedented longevity revolution. Mm-hmm. The third reason it's unlike any other generation is that we have very complex and varied family structures these days. We have lots of divorces. 23% of elders have multiple marriages, and 50% of those have children from multiple marriages. There are caregiving needs with longer lives. So elders in general are having had more children than previous generations, actually on average 3.4, equaling a 76 million number of boomers that were born between the years of 46 and 64. And the fourth and final reason is that there's really a rift or a generation gap between the boomers and the elders. You know, the elder generation is extremely conservative. They think that their children are spendthrifts and into alternative lifestyles. The 60s impact of the drug scene or the hippie scene has left a real gap in really understanding both generations. So as you can see, this is very different from previous generations.
It's interesting because when you talk about those things, one of the things that we've done at Three Dimensional Wealth International is we've actually created curriculum for professional advisors. And the curriculum leads to the designation of a certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner. But we've developed a series of courses that we call Counseling Through Life's Transitions. And it talks about the stress points and all of those things that you really talked about, because it's not just about knowing about charitable trusts or grits or grats or islets or things like that, but it's understanding conflict mediation or divorce and family dynamics or stress and career building or parenting in the empty nest. These are some of the names of our courses. Aging and caregiving, death, dying, and bereavement. One of the things I found in my career is that while I had a lot of the product knowledge, I almost think of it like a bicycle. You know, the bicycle's got the back wheel, the product knowledge, and so you're chugging along, but the front wheel is all of this counseling part that kind of steers this bicycle. And what I found as a counselor is that I needed to have more of this. And in order to really do a good job, and I think particularly now, as you're talking about with what's different than generations in the past, I think this kind of curriculum for the advisors that want to be at that, you know, playing in that field, and I call it the three-dimensional wealth field, I think it's critical to be a good advisor.
Yeah, our study found, Roe, that skilled advisors need to really understand how to tap into the combination of both emotional triggers and emotional things that are going on in one's life, as well as the financial elements. So they need to have a combination of both, and that's exactly what you're describing.
Okay. Now, this study came up with, you mentioned it before, four pillars. What are the four pillars of legacy that came up with?
Well, this is one of these statistics that sort of emerged, and we were kind of surprised by it. The word legacy, the concept legacy, is not just about money. And that's really, I think, the most compelling and startling statistic that we found. It includes four different elements, which we have identified, as you described them, as pillars. The first is the overall concept of values and life lessons. And what does that really mean? Well, it means what are the ethical and moral teachings that generations have passed along from generation to generation? What are the religion and faith teachings that have been instilled in people? What are the family traditions and the stories? All of those elements equal values and life lessons. The second pillar of legacy is called instructions and wishes to be fulfilled. And this is final wishes for demise and directives for burial or cremation. And also includes what are the health and well-being directives that people want to leave in place? What kinds of living arrangements have they made? Have they taken care of? Have they left advice and guidance around? The third pillar is personal possessions of emotional value. And this includes things like pictures and journals of the family history, household items. I remember one of the most interesting stories we read was a book called Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate, and it was all around much of the conflict was who was going to get Grandma's Yellow Pie Plate. This was not money. It was worth probably, you know, $3, but it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with the memories that the family had of that possession. And the fourth pillar is financial assets and real estate. And I will mention to you at this point in time that all four pillars of legacy are very important. So it's not like financial assets and real estate are at the bottom, which I will address that later on, but really need to take into account when one's leaving a legacy all four of these pillars: values and life lessons, instructions and wishes to be fulfilled, personal possessions of emotional value, and financial assets and real estate.
And for us, they fall right into my sort of categories of personal wealth, financial wealth, and then I also include social wealth, you know, doing things for others. What we've done, interesting enough, in order to help our clients pass on their values and life's lessons and things like that, we actually create a family legacy manuscript. And I've got actually one that we've done for my mom and dad. And I'll read you the back of this because this was pretty interesting. We actually had, after doing interviewing, and it was about a 7-month process, but we actually have a DVD for the family in the back. And we brought it down. It was a couple hours, but we brought it down to 6.5 minutes of the essence of my mom and dad. And this is what my dad said in that DVD. He said, "The years have gone by quickly. Much has been accomplished in my life with Evelyn, and hopefully much more is yet to be accomplished." Now, he was 80 when he did this, and that goes along with the studies that maybe there are many more years to go. But what would our lives have meant if we were so quickly forgotten without passing on the lessons we have learned? Your forefathers sacrificed greatly to make this land a better place for you and me. Now, our family came over in the early 1700s with the Dutch community, so and we had, I think, 14 members in the American Revolution. He says, but I hope we have contributed in a similar fashion for our family, friends, and colleagues. So as my time on Earth draws to a close, I am glad that we have the opportunity to purposefully put together the tapestry of our lives in this book for those who follow. We pray that our beliefs and thoughts will help you lead more productive lives and will bring you a rich and rewarding life filled with unlimited happiness. Success and happiness in life will only come as you give yourself away to others. Remember, it's not how much you are loved, but how much you have loved others. Monroe Diefendorf. And so, again, what we're doing in a meaningful way is helping our clients talk about how to do this. So, in other words, we've identified it, but we also want to put some teeth to it and say, okay, let's make sure it happens.
Yeah,
so we're having a lot of fun with that.
It sounds wonderful. It's really one of the things that it conjures up for me as it relates to the study that we did is that when you think about legacy, you think not only about when someone dies, but you think about them throughout their entire life and through life. So people have the opportunity to leave a legacy as they are still living. It's a very positive, hopeful way of doing that. And you have certainly captured that for your family.
Well, that brings me to the next point, was myth number two. He says, inheritance is the name of the game. And what you said is there's a difference between legacy and inheritance.
Yes, there is. First of all, legacy is a much more positive, hopeful, compelling term. When we went out and started to do focus groups on this study, which is the first second phase after secondary research of the project, we began with the words inheritance and also estate planning. And they conjured up terms like death, greed, and money, tremendous anxiety, and a lot of inertia around those terms. But the word legacy transcends money. It's only part of what's passed along, and it's really something that you can begin to do early in your life, you know, when you begin to think about sort of taking care of some of your wishes and instructions. It's part of what's passed on, but the...
Are you there? Well, we're going to take a short break, and we will be back with more of the American Legacy Study on Three-Dimensional Wealth.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Do you have an invention or idea and you don't know what to do next? Do you ever wonder what the differences are with a patent, trademark, or copyright? Remember seeing that million-dollar idea that you came up with a few years earlier, like the pet rock, clapper, slinky, or the remote control finder? How do I become a millionaire off my genius ideas? Hear answers to these questions on You Invent It, We Protect It, every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Your hosts, attorney Stephen Levitt and Jillian Freed, and their panel of experts and inventors just like you will discuss these questions and many more. So tune in to You Invent It, We Protect It, every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on business.voiceamerica.com.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to three-dimensional wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of three-dimensional wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Elise Pellman, who is the Executive Vice President of AgeWave, and we're talking about the American Legacy Study, and which includes seven myths of the American legacy. And one of the myths we want to talk about is money is the most important legacy. Now, why is that a myth?
Well, Roey, as we identified before, there are four pillars of legacy: life values and life lessons, instructions and wishes to be fulfilled, personal possessions of emotional value, and financial assets and real estate. Money would fall under number four, financial assets and real estate. And typically, boomers are considered, this study was of boomers and elders, if you'll recall. Boomers are considered self-absorbed. Money is very important. Real estate is, financial assets is the only thing they consider. That's a myth. That's really not true. What we found in this study is, though, money is important, not something to be ignored. Actually, the overwhelming important part of legacy is values and life lessons. Over 30% of those in both generations, boomers and elders, thought that values and life lessons were the most important aspect of legacy. Only 1% of those people thought that financial assets and real estate were important. You know, in the focus groups, there was a very interesting quote by someone who participated, and I'll just read it to you because I think it's quite impactful. Legacy is what you leave behind when you're gone, and I don't think of it as money or possessions. More like what you teach of your values to your children. That's what's most important. So the second most important aspect, by the way, is instructions and wishes to be fulfilled. But it is a myth that money is the most important. It's actually the least important.
It's interesting because we talk about tangible assets and then the intangibles or the money or the values. And our I've got our financial planning software company is working on the programming now to take our financial planning and where you normally would see the assets and liabilities in your net worth, I've got them developing additional columns which will say now, later, never. In other words, these are financial assets that I might need now during my lifetime, or I might need them later for education for kids or retirement or for some other purpose, long-term care, or then those assets that I might never need. And if I can identify them and then look across on the financial statement and determine which of those assets, and I would call those probably legacy kind of assets that I never need, which are the ones that would best be utilized to pass either to the next generation or perhaps during their lifetime transfer them to one of the other dimensions of their wealth. So if I can take those assets off my financial statement and not impact my current standard of living, not impact, you know, and reduce or increase my risk in any way, but if I can take them off and move them to my financial wealth or move them to my social wealth, what we're working on is actually trying to graphically show how someone's total wealth can be amplified. So the example I think of, and we've lived this, is over the years, we've taken our kids now to 54 countries.
Wow.
And so we've taken the money out of the bank, and so our financial assets are less, but we've transferred them from the money bank to the memory bank. And so at the end of that transfer, the question is the Diefendorf family less wealthy or more wealthy? Now, if you were to look at just the financial statement and be a one-dimensional you know, planner, you'd say we were less wealthy. However, in the totality of our wealth, there is no question in my mind that we are a much wealthier family.
And I think that's wonderful, Roe. And what you're going back to is what this study findings imparted, which was the most important thing, that it is not only about money, it's about the emotional aspects of one's life together with the financial aspects.
And the study used the phrase, and I like the way it catches, says, you know, it's not just about valuables, but it's values. In fact, it said the planners of the future, and this is what I thought was pretty interesting, it said the planners for the next generation are going to have to learn how to help clients pass on their values, not just their valuables.
That's correct.
And, of course, that's what we're trying to do with our Certified Three-Dimensional Wealth Practitioner designation, is help those advisors. There's another myth, though, that was talking about finances are the biggest source of conflict. What's that about?
Well, you know, our study started out with the premise that money is extremely destructive, and families, as you know, families get torn apart by that. I mean, if you look
I've seen that many times, for sure.
It's all over the media. You look at the Pritzker family, the Hyatt fortune. I mean, it tore apart the family, as has many, many, many other family issues around money. However, that doesn't really, that's not what our study showed. What our study showed is that fulfilling wishes and distributing personal possessions are five times as likely to be the greatest source of conflict during legacy transfer as compared to the distribution of finances. And I think the reason is, you know, possessions have, as an example, you created this wonderful history of your family. Well, that's invaluable. It's irreplaceable. You know, it conjures up memories of your parents for your children. It's childhood memories. It's sitting around a table and a Thanksgiving table and having the pie plate and the silver that, you know, perhaps your mother used. It's from generation to generation. Those seem to be the issues that are causing the greatest conflict among families today, not money.
Mm-hmm. How do you work around that? How do you make it so that way those pieces don't become the conflict?
Yeah, I think what we've learned is the most important thing to being a successful legacy advisor is to helping people understand their priorities, Roe.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that, you know, a husband and a wife can have one priority and their children can have different priorities. So it's really having the ability to sit down and listen, really listening. Skilled advisors listen. They don't just talk. And have each of them address, either together or separately, what their individual priorities are, and then discuss it as a group so that each person is respected and heard. And you're first going in through the emotional door, so to speak, and then the money part follows. But it's really having the ability to bridge the gap of communication and understanding what some of the key issues and challenges are so that you can be there to offer advice and guidance. And if you can't, perhaps you can refer people to an accountant or to an attorney. I mean, there's usually a network of people involved in legacy planning.
Yeah, when we work on retreats, in fact, we have facilitators. We usually work as teams, and one of them would be oftentimes a family counselor who works with us, and so we've got both sides, financial and also the counseling side, as we go through all of these issues. Which leads me to the next myth, myth number five. Families talk about their legacy plans.
That's not true, exactly.
Yeah.
They don't talk about their legacy plans, and here's why they should. Let me give you four reasons why it would be useful that they did talk. Number one, it can really help families connect and overcome some of the misunderstandings that they may each have about their priorities. It helps to strengthen family bonds. Number two, talking about legacy helps to clarify plans and intentions for all of the family members, which may be different. Number three, it gives the heirs a need to express their own priorities and needs, as we just talked about. And number four, it really helps indicate sort of an understanding of each's intentions. So parents may have a particular intention. Perhaps they want to develop a reliable plan that includes sending their grandchildren to college. On the other hand, boomers have a misunderstanding because perhaps they're struggling with debt and are hoping that they may get some of that the inheritance early on, or that can help them relieve some of those debt issues. So I think that talking about it really enables people to open up in four very distinct different ways and build long-term and more stronger family bonds.
Do we know from the study why they don't talk about legacy plans?
Sure. I think what we've learned is that it is, so there's a variety of reasons, but one is when legacy is not the term that's used, it's usually inheritance.
Okay.
It conjures up, for parents, it conjures up the feeling that if I'm going to talk about death, because that's usually the word they think of with my children, they're going to think that, you know, I'm going to be dying, and they're going to get really, really, really upset. So there's a
inheritance, I always conjure up someone at the other end with their hands out, you know, sort of waiting, you know.
Exactly right.
Entitlement. I have my entitlement.
Well, and that's the other issue. So, you know, that's part of, it's extremely complicated. It's thorny. It's a difficult conversation to have, particularly with the complex family structures of today. So it's one of those avoidance issues.
You know where we've found success has been, and when I talk about sort of my three-dimensional wealth plan, what I'd like to do is have people work on passing on their personal wealth. And if, ideally what I could do is that I could have them put together a family legacy manuscript. Number two, look at their financial wealth in light of their personal wealth, their values, and how to tie up. But then their social wealth. And we've been using family foundations as a great tool in order to train heirs. We use it as an incubator to have them understand, younger generations understand investments. And then we finally will tie it in with a retreat. Now, if I can put all those four elements together, now I've got a very successful plan. And just today we were talking with a family to finally come together. They've had a family foundation for a long time, but didn't really communicate well. And so now we're going to get them together, talk about how we can do a better job talking about the legacy. We're going to take a short break, Elise. We'll be back with more of Three Dimensional Wealth. Thank you.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Technology is only as good as its execution. On CIO Talk Radio, host Sung Jo Gal will interview CIOs, CTOs, and other decision makers about their insights in dealing with technology. Learn directly from these subject matter experts on how to get the best returns out of your investment in IT. Know ahead of time what problems and challenges you face in executing IT strategies in the real world. If you are a technology manager, consultant, or advisor, you cannot afford to miss out on what today's technology thought leaders have to say about today's most urgent IT issues. Listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sung Jo Gal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roy Diefendorf.
I'm here with Elise Pellman, and she is the Executive Vice President of AgeWave. And AgeWave was the driving force behind the American Legacy Study, and that was headed up by Ken Dykewald. And actually, Elise, you're the brains of the outfit. That's what I understand. From having spoken with you now for the last 45 minutes, I get the feeling. But what we want to do is finish up. There are seven myths of the American Legacy. We've talked about five, and so we've got a couple more, and I want to just go back to them. And one of these was about the kids. All kids, all children are equal.
Not true.
Okay.
I think what it is, Roe, is that equality is taken for granted.
Incidentally, I'm the good child. And my sister would say the same thing.
I'm sure. Equality is really taken for granted. I will say at this point that most elders say that they will ultimately distribute their legacy equally. There's a growing trend, however, with both blended families and high net worth families that they're more likely to distribute their legacy based on performance. At this point in time, performance really refers to those that perhaps may have cared more for a parent or have greater financial need or have not turned to there's one study that's really interesting. Why would you disown someone from, you know, your inheritance, a child from your inheritance? And what tops the list are sort of drug abuse. But at the bottom of the list is prison. And I think that's because of the tremendous gap.
So they'd rather have you rob a bank and go to prison than take drugs. Is that it?
Absolutely. You know, it's the 60s. It's boomers in the 60s. Elders are seven times more likely than boomers to believe that they owe their children an inheritance. And what's fascinating to us is that twice as many of the elders view this as a source of power. And we think that has a lot to do with, and this is an assumption on our part, of the education. Because boomers tend to be more educated than their parents.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's a way for them to control it. But a fascinating concept came up during this part of the study as it related to children. It's the role of the alpha child. And I know, Roe, you think you're the alpha child and your sister thinks she's the alpha child.
No, I'm probably the omega child. I'm at the end.
Well, what the alpha child actually means is the child who the parents turn to first. It's a very valuable piece of information for financial advisors to know. It's the child who really keeps the family connected and is the strongest communicator. However, it's not necessarily the oldest, it's not necessarily the most educated, or the most successful, or even the one who lives the closest. Though, if you were to ask a parent to describe the alpha child, they would generally describe them as being good with money, being smart, and having a good education. The funny thing about this is that two in five elders say they have an alpha child, and this alpha child is the leading resource in legacy. So for financial advisors to really identify who that alpha child is and connect with them and understand their priorities and needs as it relates to their parents would be extremely useful in your business. And just as an aside, boomers tend to overestimate by a factor of four that they are the alpha child.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. When we go on to the families now, this final one that we want to talk about is families want only financial advice when planning their legacies. Now, I know from my informal study, in my gut, it said to me that, no, they really want more. And so this one just nailed it home and said, obviously, there's something else. What are the other pieces that they want?
Well, there are. As we've been discussing on this call today, and as you and your business really understand this, legacy is a very complicated and complex affair. Thorny, difficult to navigate, generational differences, complex family structures, longevity, different priorities. And so what most families are looking for are advisors that are first and foremost honest trustworthy and compassionate listeners, skilled at effective communication. So they're not looking for someone who works for a company that they trust. Yes, of course that's important, but it's at the bottom of the list in terms of ranking qualities that are the most important. And also, as it relates to financial returns, we're not going to say that's not important. But again, honesty, trustworthy, and listening skills rank far and above the other characteristics that are related to finances in particular. It was kind of interesting. We asked in the study who people would pick as the ideal legacy advisor if they had a choice to work with someone. And boomers picked Oprah, if you can imagine, and the older population picked Billy Graham. So really, compassion and morality and good listening skills won out. For the high net worth, they, both boomers and elders, both picked Warren Buffett, obviously a source of respect and admiration for someone in the financial, you know, who's done wonders with his own financial abilities. So for professionals to be skilled at navigating both the sensitive and top priorities and the difficulties and challenges that come up, and listening, being a good listener, are really critical here. Sort of a combination of an advisor, a therapist, a lawyer, an accountant, a spiritual leader, etc. All those characteristics and traits equal a successful legacy advisor.
That's a tall order, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's interesting. I just read a survey this weekend, and it was talking about how people look at their advisors. And right now, advisors are being less trusted by the public. And, of course, I don't know if that's a fallout from Elliot Spitzer going after, but they're saying, you know, advisors are more interested in themselves than they are in their clients, and that their own financial well-being is more important than our, you know, well-being, you know, in totality of their wealth. And so, yeah, there's a hurdle that I think we need to get over. And, in fact, the point is, I think, from this study, if this is what people are looking for, honesty, trustworthiness, if they're looking for good listeners, then isn't that what we need to be? I did a study a few years ago. I went out to our top 100 clients. I had my daughter, Jenny, from college. And I said, I'd like you to go out to them and ask them, you know, how are we doing? What is it they'd like? And I said, you know, if our top client says he wants, you know, breakfast in bed, you ask him if he wants bacon and eggs or pancakes. Let's not be, you know, dumb about this. And I said, you know, what is it that you would like to see us do in the next 3 years in order for our relationship to be successful? And they told us. And so what do you think we did? Exactly what they wanted. And so I look at this survey and it says, well, if clients really are looking for honesty and trustworthiness, now I don't know if that's something you can just, you know, turn on and off, but that's who we need to be. If it's a good listener, you know, there are things that you can do in the selling skills. I mean, part of that, the counselor selling is listening skills. But all of those, if this is what they need, I would go right to the top of the list and go right on down and say, how can I be that kind of advisor?
Rowie, I think that's incredibly valuable guidance on your part. I think there's a paradigm shift that needs to take place, though, in the financial services industry to really win. It seems like you really are ahead of the game in doing this. I would just add that it's probably a longer process than most financial advisors are comfortable with, but we think that the benefits and the rewards will be far, far greater in the long run.
Yeah, I have what's called the hierarchy of planning, and it really starts, and I look at the career, and it starts back with sort of product sales, and then I go back 35 years ago, and I was in that niche, and so you had people that were either distributing insurance or securities or retirement plans, and everything was in that whole level was fragmentation. And so then people would say, well, gee, what I really need to do is get organized. So let me get an accountant and I'll get, you know, a banker, an insurance person. And we went from fragmentation to segmentation. So, I mean, all it was we just lined up all the pieces, but they still were not communicating. And so then we said, well, really what we need to do is be financial planning. And so then we did get into that. And 25 years ago, a whole industry and a profession was created. And so we went then to integration. So now we were starting to integrate it. And I think where we're going, Elise, is the future of this is what I call synchronization. And the synchronization is taking your financial wealth and syncing it with your personal wealth and your social wealth. And that's where all of those skills really need to be put together to be a good three-dimensional wealth practitioner.
Sounds like a great plan.
Okay. Well, our time is up today, Elise. Listen, I want to thank you for joining us. And you're doing a great job. I know you've got some studies coming out for next year. So we'll be interested to see how they go. And I want to thank the guests for listening in today. I hope you've enjoyed our conversation. And I want to invite you back next time, next week at the same time. And I'm Roey Diefendorf, and this is Three Dimensional Wealth.
Thank you, Roey.
Thank you for tuning in to Three Dimensional Wealth with Roey Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.